Join me in prayer. So gracious God, how good it is for us to gather together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. What is it that you are saying to each of us? You have a message for everyone that is here. What is that message? Still our hearts to listen. Amen. So friends, the question is this. How do you build a love house? Those words were not coined by me. They were coined by a man by the name of Ken Medima. Now, Ken Medima is a musician. He is a poet. He is a world traveler. He is a family man. He rides a bicycle. He is a mountain climber. Now, what is so special about that individual? Well, friends, that man was born entirely blind. And so he does all of these things, but he also meditates on what it takes to build a love house. How do you build a love house? Well, the scripture that was read indicates how that love house is built. You know, God is the one who built the first love house. That's what creation, that's what Genesis is all about. God the Creator, who created this wonderful world of ours. And what a wonderful world it is. Right here in Uxbridge, we are surrounded by the beauty of creation. I think that's one of the reasons why we love Uxbridge as much, because nature and all the works of God's creation are so available to us. Joan and I don't have a summer cottage. Our home is our summer cottage because we love living here in the summertime. It's a beautiful place in which to live. And I think you and I intuitively know that there is something special, something that pulls us in creation, the works of God. Look at the garden centers right now. There is a stampede to all the garden centers. For goodness sake, Canadian Tire, which is supposed to sell tires, they are selling all kinds of flowers and plants and vegetables. How good is that? And when I worked with men in the armed forces, former military, who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, again and again, after prayer and meditation, we would counsel, get out into creation. Take a walk in the woods. There is something recreative, resetting, restive, as we get in touch with God's creation. How good it is even to dig with your hands and just experience God's good earth, all created, God's love house. But nevertheless, as the Apostle Paul says it, not in the same words, but he really is implying it, how do you build a love house? The Apostle Paul, in that Colossians letter, really is indicating three things by which we build the love house. And the three things are pulling together, playing together, and praying together. First of all, pulling together. How tremendously important if you build a love house. And this goes for any relationship. If you build any relationship, you must pull together. Jesus himself says, I work as the Heavenly Father works. In other words, Jesus the Son and God the Father and the Holy Spirit are a team. Creator, Savior, Sanctifier. They are a team. They are indivisible. They pull together. Just as that hymn that we sang. Now, I know a lot of people call that hymn quite trite, but it is an important hymn. You see, we are called to pull together, to work together, to walk together, to be one in the Spirit. And it is the love of God that binds our hearts together. Right now, I think we are all anxious about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, you know, they've been known as the Core Four. But the Core Four do not make a team. Now there is some hope because the Leafs are acting as a team. And how good it is when we are a team together, working and pulling together. How important that is in your home to pull together. How important it is in the community. And I think that's why we love Uxbridge so much, because we do pull together. I think of all of the volunteer organizations in this town. We are all pulling together. And now Canada. Seems to me that we are on the verge of pulling together. You know, we have this nemesis, Mr. Trump. He wants to buy us 51st state. We are saying no thanks. But you see what this is saying? We need to pull together. Now, friends, would you believe it? We have not been pulling together. Can you believe that we have trade barriers between provinces? How ridiculous is that? So perhaps finally, we as a nation need to pull together. Yes, we have come from many diverse cultural backgrounds, many different religions. But friends, how important that we pull together. We must work together. We must stand together. We are one in the spirit. How tremendously important to pull together. And the Apostle Paul is saying that about the church. We as a church must pull together. But then we are called also, as we build the love house, to play together. And sometimes we Christians forget about playing. Having joy and enjoyment. It is said about Jesus that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And Jesus, in his earthly life, compared himself and his disciples to a wedding party. Now, a wedding party is not sad. A wedding party is celebrative. So Jesus compared himself and the disciples to a wedding party, playing together, having fun together. Yes, friends, there is only one thing that we should be serious about, and that is the salvation of the soul. But for all else, let us play together. Let us enjoy the fellowship. And when we have strife or any kind of difficulty, the key word is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Just this past week, I have read the most amazing story of all. It's called The Garbage Dump Music Orchestra. Now, this is in Catiro, Paraguay. We don't often hear about Paraguay, but Paraguay is a landlocked country near Brazil and Argentina. And the story is told about two men, anxious and concerned about the young men in their community, the community of Catura. Because they saw these young men, and incidentally, Paraguay is a backward, hardscrabble country. They have no industry going for them. Yes, they have agriculture, but frequently they are undersold and oversold. And so it's hardscrabble for everyone. And young people, young men especially growing up, have no future, nothing to live for. So they struggle. Many of them form into gangs and into criminal activity. So these two men, one an engineer and one a metallurgist, decided that they would do something for the young men in the community. Now, both are musicians. One is a violinist, one a cellist. And so they decided to form an orchestra, but no money for instruments. So they went scavenging in the city dump, looking for anything with which to fashion instruments. And they found parts of old violins and cellos and trumpets and drums. They took these things as well as paint cans and oil cans and pipes. And through their fashion and creativity, they have formed instruments, can you believe? Instruments for an orchestra. They started out with three young men, then five, then 10, then 25. And their music, quite unique. Nevertheless, they started out playing in churches, in schools, in community events. They have now played on television. They have conducted a world tour. You see, hard work and working together and playing together. This indeed is what happens so often as we work together and we play together. You know, it is said of the early Christians that what attracted people to Christianity was their playing together, was the joy in the faith that they experienced. These were not easy times. These were hard times. But nevertheless, people were drawn to the Christian faith because they saw a joy in Christians' hearts. So let there be joy, let there be celebration. And think of it. Here is the Apostle Paul. He is in prison awaiting execution. And yet his words are, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." So as Christians, let us play together. Let us enjoy the joy of God's presence in our midst. Because, my friends, I do sense that we are in for harsh times. We are facing struggle. And I think when harsh times come, not only do we need to pull together, we need to play together. We need to interact, encourage, and support each other. Play together. So we pull together, we play together, but then thirdly, we pray together. The disciples so often heard the teachings of Jesus. Where does this man get his wisdom? And then they saw his healings. How does he do it? Well, you see, Jesus had a secret which is available to all of us. And the secret is prayer. Jesus went off to pray by himself, but he also invited his disciples to pray. And when they became a prayer group, they became a prayer force. Because as you read the book of Acts, suddenly you read that these inept followers of Jesus indeed become powerhouses of prayer. And just as Jesus healed other people, so Peter and Paul and James and John, they continue that healing ministry. The importance of prayer, and especially today, how tremendously important for you and me to pray. Friends, there are many things that we cannot do. We cannot fly a plane. We cannot sail a ship. We cannot drive an army tank. But there is one thing that every one of us in this room can do, and that is pray. God has given to us that umbilical cord so that you and I can reach out to God and be connected with the power source, the Heavenly Father. You and I can pray. How tremendously important to pray. And friends, don't let anyone tell you that God does not answer prayer. Yes, God answers every prayer. You remember, now, God doesn't always say yes. God sometimes says no. You remember the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And the Apostle Paul says, 3 times, I asked God to cast it out. But God said no. The Apostle Paul never says, God didn't answer my prayer. The Apostle Paul says, God answered my prayer. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. I think I have shared this story with you before. The story of Danielle Kane. You may remember, 2022. Danielle, a nurse, 28 years old, vivacious, fun-loving, life-loving, about to be married, on the Danforth, shot by a mad gunman. The bullet penetrated her spinal cord. When she woke up, it was to a wheelchair. Now, friends, can you imagine something like that happening? One day you're active, you're out and about, and the next day you're imprisoned in a wheelchair. That prison not only involved the wheelchair, bit by bit, her friends, active, busy with their life, began to drop off. And then one day, the most devastating of all, her fiancé came by and said, Danielle, I can no longer continue. And he left her. You can imagine what it meant for her. She plunged into deep depression, darkness. Yes, 2 times she contemplated suicide very seriously. But her family prayed for her. And then Danielle, who had never really thought much about God or the Christian faith, prayed in desperation, God help me. And she awakened to hope. Yes, she was still confined to her wheelchair, but instead of hiding in the shadows, she went on the internet. She told her whole story. And before long, she was surrounded by a circle of friends and supporters. And she became a supporter to so many. Today, Danielle not only is married, not only is a mother, but she continues with her work. And it is a wonderful work as she reaches out to those who are severely wounded by the perils of this life. And she continues strong. So friends, never ever discount the power of prayer. Last week's New York Times had an article in it. The woman, Lorraine Jackson, told about her story, how at one time she was a church member, but then the allure of the world, secularism, and all the baubles of the world compelled her, and she was just too busy for church and the faith. But after about 15 years, as she looked within, She realized what a hollow shell she had become. And so she has returned to faith. And surprisingly, she notices that many of her friends also are returning to faith. Because, friends, prayer is that umbilical cord that joins us to the Lord our God. And when we sever that cord, we are as leaves in the fall of the year, twisting in the wind and falling downward. Frank Laubach, the great missionary of a generation ago, missionary for the whole world, founder of the World Literacy Campaign to bring reading and literacy to people around the world, in all of his travels, came to this conclusion: enough people praying enough will release into the human bloodstream the mightiest medicine that this universe has ever seen, and we shall be channels through whom God can exert his infinite power of love through us. How do you build a love house? God has given us the love house. We now need to furnish it, pulling together, playing together, and praying together. May we do that in Jesus' name. Amen.